With that, we bring in Mark Pavlik, the outstanding head men's volleyball coach at Penn State. Pav, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Steve.
Let's get your season rolling. It's all you. What are you, five right now? I think you're five, something like that, and BYU six.
Yeah.
You always, you know, play a great schedule. How important was it to get out of the gate in your mind when you schedule something like this to find out early what you have and what you need to work on?
I think this in most years, I think that is exactly why we do this year with the return, with the entire group returning, and after the year we put together last year, I think it was more along the lines of, hey, let's get the 2x4 of competitive reality across the bridge of the nose early. And how good can we be, knowing that we're going to be facing some teams that are going to be very good? BYU kicks off this weekend, Grand Canyon, who I know everybody looks at, like, Grand Canyon University.
They're good.
Top 10 team, one of the best outside hitters in the country, and coached by a PA product, the Juniata grad, Matt Worley, played for the national team. And then SC, UCLA, and Santa Barbara, and Long Beach. Welcome to January. So it's going to be a brutal month for us, but I think our guys, we've been there, done that. Now we got to be there, do that the entire year. So let's start it off.
All right, so let's get into an interesting philosophical question, all right? I have no idea what that is. And that is, we'll start with, okay, people think there's carryover from one year to the next. I always believe that one of the important elements that any coach has to do is to convince each team they're 0-0 and you're starting fresh in this year and you can't rest on last year. Is that accurate in your mind? Has that been the way you've approached it, or do you believe there's carryover?
I believe that you got to convince them they're 0-0, but the arrows in their quiver this year are different than the ones last year.
Right. Well,
And I think to your point, how do you use what you learned last year, starting 0-0 this year?
Well, see, I think there's a difference. So, there's a different starting point in your preseason. Because you're, as a teacher, you're reminding them of stuff because they're veterans, and then you can add to it. I think that's a big difference.
It is, and I think especially in the collegiate model, right? Because everybody has turnover.
Yeah.
And BYU, out of their 20 guys on their team, I think there's 14 or 15 that are first or second year guys. There's 10 first year guys in their program this year. So I'm sure what Sean's doing in his gym, a little bit different. It may be the same thing we did in our gym 2 years ago. But you're right. You got to go in. I think the understanding where they ended the season last year, understanding what they gained through the summer, and then going into the fall saying, okay, we can maybe begin with more systems-oriented tweaking than necessarily individual volleyball 101 at Penn State. Here's what you need to know for being on the court was our approach this year. So, but I'm right with you. I think every good team knows that last year means nothing in terms of wins and losses, but the experience gained, if used correctly, is going to help them navigate through this season.
What kind of preseason did you have?
Pretty good one. One of the things we had a great summer. We had four of our guys train with the National Team Development Program in California, in Anaheim. We had Brett Wildman train for a couple of weeks before the national team went to Italy for the VNL week in May. And when they came back from Italy to prepare for the Olympics, they brought Brett back into the gym with him. So, I mean, he was there with Maddie, Max, Aaron, all the guys you saw at the Olympics this year. So we came in knowing we had to do some things to make sure that we didn't burn these guys out, because they all had a very good, heavily invested summer. And the guys that didn't play in any of the structured opportunities that were out there. I think at one point we had 10 or 11 guys here in State College for the summer lifting and playing every day. So we didn't need to overkill this fall. We just needed to refine, and I think the guys did a good job of buying into that. And it just seemed like this group, when they get on the court for any training session, for any match, competitive situation, they make the most out of it. They do a good job of training hard and training and having fun with it. This is a fun group to be in the gym with. I really enjoy these guys.
I mean, with Will Bantle and Sam Marsh, and you've got Cal Fisher and Brett Wildman. But I got to get to Cole Bogner. Does he think the way the coaches think as a setter?
Yeah, and I think in the game of volleyball, not only does he have to think like we think, he has to think like his hitters think. He has to understand where the windows are that he's got to put the ball for Fish as opposed to putting the ball for Brett or putting the ball for Sam versus Toby. And that's the thing that I've liked so far this year, is that has continued from where it left off last year. And I'm real excited about tonight to see that in play. It's January volleyball. We're going to do some things that I'm going to sit on the bench and say, haven't we played this game before?
Didn't we work on that?
We don't have to be great right now. We've got to keep reminding ourselves that our strengths are what we believe in, and we know what we can do well, so let's do them well. And then let's just keep building toward April and May, the time you really want to be your best for EIVAs and NCAAs.
That's okay.
So it should be fun.
Well, Sean Olmsted is going to be saying the same thing on his bench.
I think so.
Hey, last year you led the nation in aces along the way. Man, you're also fourth in hitting percentage. But what has that meant to keeping teams off balance? And how important is it going to continue to be in this season, considering you have guys that know how to put it in a spot with power?
Yeah, I think the serve in today's men's collegiate game is taking on a little bit of the personality of where blocking used to be in the men's collegiate game.
Yeah, that's a good point.
When the offenses were higher and slower, and everybody could get to a point of attack, and big guys got across the net, and you could stuff balls, you could slow balls down, and there was an intimidation factor with that. Now, the speed of the game, the athleticism that's out on the court, you can negate a little bit of blocking by just going faster than they can move. The serve, I think, takes that intimidation factor and places it on your ability to dictate to your opponent, you're not going to do what you want to do with your offense because of our serving. And and you and I have had discussions about the missed serves in the men's game.
Yeah.
But I think because you come off the women's season where you hear coaches talk about, we missed five serves that game. I'm sitting there saying, just give me five misses. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think in the men's game, the ball that you just keep in play as a server, they pass perfectly. They become very physical with it. They bounce it. And what happens? You've got this rush of adrenaline and testosterone on the other side of the net saying, we're better than you can be. Now, you get a good physical server and you run some points, then if they miss a serve, the response on the other side of the team is not that testosterone given, we're better than you are. It's like, oh, thank you for missing. We don't have to worry about that now. So it's almost a deference to your physicality. And I think in the men's game, the team that defers most to physicality loses.
Yeah, because I think, I'll use a tennis analogy. I think 25 years ago, men's volleyball was a lot like playing tennis on clay. Now it's like playing on grass.
I agree with that, and I'm not a big tennis aficionado, but I know your analogy, and I think that's a very valid one.
So what kind of pressure does this put on, for example, a Will Bantle, for example, to be really, not just really good at digging the ball out, but the ability to dig it and pass it?
Yeah, his ball control is the thing that we count on him for. He's had a great summer. He's had a great fall. Is he the quickest guy out there? No, but his platform is pretty pure. It enables us to at least go quicker to the pins if it's not perfect, because Will just battles his butt off against any good server. And the great thing about having Will in our gym is the fact that he gets to see Fish and Brett and Sam,
yeah,
and those serves day to day to day. And you know, I think this year what we do have, we have a radar gun up and a display in the gym, so our fans are going to come in and they're going to be able to have some type of feel for the physicality of the game, see who hits 65, 66, see if we can break 70 on a jump serve and in. And I think that'll be fun for them.
Well, it's going to be tonight at 7 and Saturday at 7, both in the main gym of Rec Hall, and admission is free for all home regular season matches. So off and rolling, and the first of many conversations during the course of this winter and spring, my friend. Good luck tonight.
We'll always look forward to speaking with you, and come on over to the office at some point.
That sounds good.
Rec Hall is the Betty White of athletic facilities. You know, when you're in here, something good's going to happen. You're going to walk away, and maybe not quite as shiny and polishy as younger versions, but boy, Rec Hall is the place you want to be.
Oh, it is. It is, you know. And, it's also got that area in the back, too, you know, behind the bleachers. So, okay. I'll leave it at that.
All right. Hey, you have a good one. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you. Good luck tonight and good luck Saturday. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Steve.